to him. What a powerful song. Isn't it good to be in God's house, come to worship him, and excited about today, but also excited about tonight. Tonight for our Sunday night revival, got Reverend Marty Quick's going to be coming. He's from Mount Olive Baptist. Never had a more humble, haven't been around Marty a whole lot, but when I called asking him to come, he was so humbled and honored and excited to be here. So I'm excited about what God's going to do. So 6 o'clock tonight. Hope you've already made plans. You're going to make plans or change up some plans maybe and come back and see what God's going to do. And we're excited about that. And also, I had mentioned when Sandra and Maisie were here, this desire to love on them, take a little love offering for them, and gave us exciting news about the baby. And so as God shows, though, her baby, it ended up being a tubular pregnancy, and she really got pretty bad shape, and they had to go in, so had to take the baby. So just very, very sad news, Sandra and Macy, and she's still needing to recover physically. So definitely, even now, I guess there's more needs than before with the medical expenses to ER trips and even the surgery. So a lot going on in their lives. They'll be leaving on the 31st to head back to the Peru to go back on the mission field. So just so much going on in their lives. So really want us next Sunday to love on them. And I know it'd be Memorial Day weekend. I was kind of waiting to see what was happening with all this as it was transpiring down the road. So it's God's timing. So if you're going to be gone, though, next weekend out of town, I encourage you maybe today or sometime during the week, go ahead and whatever God lays on your heart. And church family, let's just love on them and take a love offering up next Sunday to send help with some of the expenses, send them back to Peru to go share Jesus. And just whatever God lays on your heart. I'm thankful for a godly and a giving wife, and we were blessed with some extra money we didn't expect, and I didn't know what the amount was, and my wife was telling me about it, and she said, you know, I went and gave that to Maisie and Sandro. And I said, well, thank you. Thank you for that. Amen. So pray what God would have you. Next Sunday, we'll take a love offering up for them. And I tell you, Dennis, I'm so glad you're here. One of Dennis's desires is, as he kind of goes through this cancer battle, is to be at the Lord's house. And Dennis was leading Friday night. He brought his brother to the movie night. Had a couple other visitors, so excited about that. But if you weren't here Wednesday, Dennis's doctor reported it, and what we hoped for, his cancer has spread. And so praying for a miracle, but also preparing to go home. And as that song was being sung, Dennis, I just thought, I want to invite Dennis again. We did this Wednesday, but I want to let us all gather. Dennis, why don't you come down? Let's gather around Dennis and pray. It's meant so much, your calls and your encouragement and your prayers already, but man, no better way to begin this morning of worship with laying a hand on Dennis. So let's gather down here and pray over Brother Dennis. Heavenly Father, I thank you for prayer, for your house of prayer. I thank you, Lord, that we spend a lot of time down here. Spend a lot of time on Wednesdays, and as we did last Wednesday. And I thank you for just the power, the peace, the just purpose we find in coming to you. And Lord, just thank you this morning for Dennis. I thank you for the gift, Lord, that he's been to our church and to me as his pastor. Lord, we love him dearly, and we're still praying for a miracle, Lord. Lord, and for the sole purpose, Lord, to be able to give you the honor and glory, Lord. Not for Dennis, Lord, to outlive us all, and not for Dennis to necessarily be healed, but Lord, that you might do such a work in his life, Lord, that it's been glory to your name. Amen. And that you would use it. So we know, Lord, you can touch him right now, and that you can heal him. But we thank you for the gift of this day. And we thank you, Lord, that for the energy and strength you gave each of us to be here today. And I know Dennis's heart right now would be, Lord, there's others, Lord, that may even have a greater need this morning than Dennis. Maybe they're gathered down here at the altar, they're sitting back in the pew, Lord, and they're just hurting in some way, physically, emotionally, Lord, spiritually, Lord, that you might touch them. And I pray you'll give them that peace that Dennis has been experiencing, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you just touch him. Lord, as we've talked, Lord, our loss list is long on Wednesdays. Lord, I'll not read those names today, Lord, but there's many that we know in my family and Dennis's family and our where we work and school, Lord, of people that don't know Jesus, Lord. And I pray that you might use what Dennis is going through in some way, Lord, to just draw others to Christ. Lord, I just pray you bless him, Lord, with good days, Lord, and just touch him and continue to let him share the gospel. And, Lord, we just thank you for those he's been inviting to church, Lord, as we have, Lord. And so I pray for strength and peace and joy, Lord. And we're just so thankful, Lord, for the hope of heaven. Lord, just he's reminded me this week, Lord, just how, Lord, let it not take news of cancer to put our minds toward heaven. Lord, home. Headed there one day. Lord, we're aware, Lord, that you can rapture us all up today. So I pray, dear God, that you, Lord, just right now, you would deal with every heart and soul. Lord, Dennis is ready to die because he knows Jesus. But, Lord, there's somebody in this church today that they're not ready. And, Lord, they might die, as me and Dennis talk, in a wreck on the way home today. It not be the rapture, not be cancer, but it be a wreck going home today, Lord. And I pray that this would be their day of salvation. There's no greater thing, no greater way to honor what God has done for you in Christ. Amen. There's no other way, Lord, just to for this day be the day of salvation, Lord. So, Lord, it's a special touch for Dennis, Lord. And I thank you for the way he continues to touch us, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you're getting back to your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. The Gospel according to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Find your way to Mark 4:35. If you need a Bible, there's one there in the pew, and we'll open God's holy word. Amen. Marty was in the prayer room searching for a scripture, and I told him, man, I hope you find that. He kind of looked at me, and I said, I like where you're looking. Amen. Man, I love to find what God's got us from the world. Thank you for that verse this morning, Marty, you shared with us. Thank you, Scott, for Sunday school lesson. We're going through the book of Revelation. Man, we were on the black horseman today. Scott brought in an image, man, just gave me chills just thinking about the things to come. And excited that Jesus won a victory over all those enemies we find in the Bible. Amen. And as Scott ended the message, we need to be prepared. Prepared for that time of him coming. Prepared for whatever God will use us in the coming days. But in Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35, we read, "And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as it was in the ship, and there also were other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm, a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Dear Lord, I thank you for that great calm that you can bring to us in the midst of the storms of life. Lord, I really believe it's true that each one of us is in some type of storm now. May have just been headed out of a storm, but the clouds even look dark in the horizon. Maybe in the middle of the storm, Lord, whatever the case may be, Lord, we're thankful, Lord. And what we desire and need is that joy that's found in Jesus that can bring calm no matter what our circumstances, dear God. And I pray for that lost and dying world that surrounds us that you'll send us back into later today and into next week, Lord, that they have no hope in the storms of life. They live in darkness spiritually, dear God, and they need to see. The folks from Hamlin's Crossroads this morning, Lord, so full of the joy of Jesus, a calm in the midst of their storms, one that puts our faith and we stand on the rock, dear God, that we might be able to be that one that would draw others to us And it not be us that's drawing, Lord, but the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And it be, as the Bible says, that people might take note and say that we've been with Jesus. Lord, it'll take more than a Sunday morning. Take more than the messages of singing. Lord, it'll take us all wanting to be with Jesus, Lord. But I pray most of all that you might calm a very disturbed mind this morning. You might calm an aching heart. You might calm us all in such a way this morning that we might hear and listen to you as you teach us in your word. And it's in Jesus' precious name we make our prayer. Amen. Amen. Be seated. We've been looking for a few Sundays now about the idea of this joy in Jesus. We were looking in 1 John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 10. We were looking at how about this living word, that the word of God that we have found in the Bible is a living word that just comes off the pages. It comes into our heart, and it's something that we apply daily, and it's just it's alive. And it, every time we read it, we can find something different. Even the same verse we read last week, if we look again according to our circumstances. We look also about it all really ties into relationship. And as we got down to the verse about joy and being full, we've kind of paused there because I really believe we could all confess that so often we don't live a life that really would be biblically explained in the living word that's a life of joy and being full of what God wants us to be full of. Amen. Dickie, I find myself, we talk often about some of your work situations. We talk about past things and present things. And Dickie relayed a story of a new employee that had just gone last week and done something crazy. We'd almost say, how in the world would somebody do that? And so there's all these things that are going on. And when these things happen, and Dickie could laugh as he told it, but in this story, Dickie, I could see it's just the, you know, that's a joy-sapping day. Amen. When the boss calls and the boss has caught somebody doing something wrong, amen, the joy, you're not full of joy, amen. Be honest. We're not full of joy on days like that day. And we are so in desperate need of that joy. So it all kind of centers around this personal relationship. A man in my flesh, I want to move on to a different subject in a hurry, because the more I think about my relationship with Christ, the more I try to study about it, to preach to you about it, the more I look into the living word, because the living word, and if we'll be obedient and be doers of that word, and we'll just make it a part of just our heart, mind, and soul, what happens is our relationship will be a living relationship. Amen? Through a living word, we get a living relationship. But I become convicted, Sandy, more and more every day, where I'm at in my relationship. And so where I know from that living word where he wants me to be. And I asked y'all the question last Sunday. Well, this is dangerous. I asked y'all, and I kept asking several times in the message. I said, here's the question. Are you experiencing the relationship that Jesus Christ wants to have with you? Not the one based on what you came up with or what's from your past or your family or just any of those things, but do we have that relate? Well, I've asked myself that question during this week, and oftentimes I come up and say, no, I'm just not in the relationship in the way that I know he wants the relationship to be. And so we're preaching about joy, looking about joy. And there were three things that word, as we find in the Bible, and I'll reshare a verse with you from John 15 in verse 11. We've been coming out of this verse for a few Sundays now. It says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Jesus is speaking and saying that he has a joy. It's his joy. That's what we're looking for, amen? That's what we're trying to grasp a hold of, because he says if we'll have his joy that remains in us, and it's a joy that he wants to fill us up with instead of the false joys of the world, that when we have that joy in us, I'm telling you, that's something, the more I look at it and study, that's something I want more of. Amen, Ray? I want to feel Hilton. I want to know that joy in the midst of circumstances. Well, we're going to look in this passage this morning, because what you really find this passage, if you understand what's happening in chapter 4, what we find in chapter 4, we're moving from a time of teaching, okay? From a time that Jesus is teaching to a time of testing. And I really believe that all in life, we're always in that mode. Jesus is continually in the living word because of the relationship that he wants to have, his relationship he desires with us. He's constantly wanting to take us from times of teaching, then into times of testing, Elliot, so we know if we understood the teaching, if we got it, amen? The movie was awesome. Thank you, Stacy, and everybody helped set up, and everybody invited and came. But man, the movie was just awesome. And if you haven't seen that movie, it's God's Not Dead Part 2, I guess is what it's called. If you haven't seen that movie, you need to rent it, get a hold of it. But there was a statement, there was a moment in the movie that I had no idea would be so connected for where we were at in the scripture, where we were looking at here in Mark this morning. But it was a time of testing in the movie, and I won't give it away if you haven't seen it, amen? It was a time of testing in the movie, and one powerful statement comes, and a young lady, the main character of the movie, is in an extreme time of testing. And she's a teacher, Miss Loretta, and all of a sudden she's talking to, I guess that's her dad or uncle, whoever she lived with, and he said these words. He said, "You should know better than anyone that the teacher is always quietest in the time of testing." Man, talk about a takeaway from an awesome Christian movie, but I began to think about that, and that's what's happening here. The teacher, Jesus Christ, is asleep in the back of the boat. They don't even understand the time of testing it is, but yet we find him sleeping during that time of testing following his time of teaching. And folks, that's what we need to remember. I either devotionally, I heard the statement, maybe I was reading a quote by someone, I didn't even put it in my notes, but it comes to my mind right now, I believe through the Holy Spirit, because of the reminder of this. You have no idea, listen, you have no idea in your life. You may be in some type of testing. You may be in some type of storm. You may be in the storm or headed to the storm. You know it's going to come when the phone call rings today. But you need to understand is oftentimes God is just right on the edge of doing something powerful. God is just right on the edge of taking you into something and doing something to your life that there's no way that you can imagine. That's why the Bible says that we serve a God. We can have joy in a God who can do the impossible. How many times have we given up? How many times have we almost, and we didn't understand the teaching, and we forgot about the teaching, and the time of testing was coming, and we're fearful, and we're afraid like the disciples were, and we're just getting that point where maybe that Jesus can wake up and just bring home the lesson, and listen, we turn around. We don't go to church on that Sunday or come back on that Sunday night. We don't make it on that Wednesday. We fail to pick up that living word and have a devotion time on a certain day or maybe the whole week. We fail to change the station on that radio from just an old worldly station to a Christian station. We just are almost there and we back away. The testing sometimes gets so difficult that we don't know what to do, and we miss out on what God's got for us. So when we see him saying that he's got a joy he wants to give us, wants it to remain, wants it to be full, man, we looked last Sunday in Matthew, that passage of him walking on the water to go to Peter, and we found that was the cheerfulness. Even in the midst of the storm and the troubles of life, the joy in Jesus we can have is one that we can even have cheer in times of trouble. We move, and the second part of that word joy that we find when you see the word joy in the Bible is the idea not only can we have a cheerfulness in times of storms, we can even have a calm delight. We see this great calm that he talks about here. Well, I had the supreme test. Thanks to Brother Dennis there. I told Dennis and what he's going through. I said, Dennis, I'll walk through you with you through this time. Church wants to walk through you. But Dennis, you know, I've told you several times, I want to learn too, amen? I want to learn from what God is doing in his life. So Dennis and I confessed to him that I think I really missed out. He was going to the doctor on Wednesday to get his results from some scans he'd had, and I've already confessed this to Dennis, so I'm to tell him what I told you. So I had really thought on Tuesday evening, I was thinking, and learn from your pastor, okay, when I make mistakes, David. But I really had in my heart, maybe I should just call Dennis up and say, Dennis, hey, I'll ride with you to the doctor. I mean, I'll hang out in the waiting room. You know, we'll get us some lunch. We'll just kind of spend some time together as you get that news. And I thought about that, and I really didn't do anything about that, amen. And then even I found early on Wednesday morning, Miss Audrey had that same thought. Maybe I should just call Dennis, but Dennis is an early riser. He likes to go out and get breakfast. I said, well, he's already gone. It wasn't long, and I've been praying for Dennis, and many of you have been praying for Dennis and what was going on Wednesday, and Dennis calls me. And he said, well, it's not good, preacher. News not good. Cancer spread to my liver. It's grown some. And, you know, that's such a difficult time, and I never will forget. And Dennis had been telling me that he thought, you know, things just weren't maybe doing right. And I made that statement. I'll never forget this all my life. It's one thing I've learned. I said, well, Dennis, you know, kind of what you were thinking, right? He said, yeah, preacher, but it's different. What? Different when you hear him say it. Well, so how much is the preacher saying, well, okay, God, I could have gone with you, could have been with you. Dennis was a little upset in his voice. I said, where are you at? He said, I'm coming out of Indian Trail. I said, I'll meet you in Monroe. I drove, meeting in Monroe. We met and we had a little time in the mall. I tell this sport because it goes right with the message. And I told you this too, Dennis. And I don't mind me sharing this. So I'm riding to Monroe, Stone. You know, man, I love having the joy of Jesus, don't y'all? Man, just come to church and praise God and joyful times and having babies and graduates and Bible schools, all these things. Let's preach about joy on Sunday morning. I get in the car, and it's all of a sudden, here's my thought. Okay, preacher, joy. So where's the joy today? Is all that we're looking at in Scripture, is it true? Can you have the joy of Jesus in the storm? Can there be is there going to be a cheerfulness? Is there going to be a calm delight? I'm questioning that. I'm saying, whoa, because Dennis is upset, and I'm headed toward him. I'm upset at the news and no comparison to his. And I'm thinking, Lord, what are we looking at? What does it mean? Lord, help me understand. What does this mean, this joy that you can have? And all the time, I know we look like Sunday that it's separate from the world's joy and the temporary things, but I really was doubting. I'm thinking, well, this, you know, I'm going to stay away from that. God, you answer that question later. We'll just go up and spend some time with Dennis. We'll cry together. We'll pray together, whatever. And we went, and Dennis shared all the news with me. And it, man, that's just bad news. Amen? Bad news. I tell often when I hear news like that, I told Byron the same thing. I mean, we're going to follow God. We're going to trust Him. Know what God can do. We're going to pray and do all those things. But when I hear news like that, it just stinks. Amen? It's terrible. We talked through that and talked pretty serious things. And I wouldn't call it a joyful time in the car. And all of a sudden, God showed up to teach me and Dennis. And he used Dennis. It's a good little inside joke I ain't going to let y'all in on. But all of a sudden, Dennis gets this little sly grin on his face. And he makes this statement. Let's laugh out loud. Smiles. We talk about heaven some things, and all of a sudden I stopped Dennis and I said, Dennis, wait a minute, it's true. I said, because right now, today, with the news you've got and what's going on, there's no kind of worldly joy or anything, Jim. There's nothing, Sherry, nothing available. But there we are smiling. He's the one that's talking about something funny. And we just paused a moment and gave God all the glory that, yes, once again, the Scripture's true. And yes, when God talks about a joy, it's true. Spent some time together Thursday morning with Dennis. We ate lunch, and he said, you know, preacher, he said, I just kind of had a calm. But I just kind of had a peace, a calm. Forget exact words he had. And I said, glory, hallelujah, where we're at this morning, this calm, delight. Listen, folks. I'm so convicted that why do we let things like this be what it takes for us to begin to understand really what God's talking about? Amen? Because as Dennis will tell you, you know, all the work years, all the money, say all those things, all that means all of a sudden heaven becomes, and I'm going to tell you, you want a blessing, a true blessing, get near Dennis and start talking about heaven, because he'll point out and start talking about things that you don't even know. Because listen, but you may be, listen closely. You may be closer to heaven than Dennis is. Next time Dennis goes back to the doctor may say, hey, what's going on. We don't know, but listen, why do we wait for someone we love to have bad news? Why do we wait for things to happen? Why wait to the storms to start thinking about the glory of heaven? Why do we let the world fill us with the wrong, make us full of the wrong joy when we should be so joyful and excited about headed home that we're just full of Jesus Christ, amen? But I'm thankful for the testimony that Dennis has showed is that I need it, because when I was doubting this week about the very things we're preaching, he was showing me how it could be true. So let's dive into verse 35. There's some, if you really want to understand, or maybe not 35, but let's back up to verse 14. Remember I said this is going from teaching to testing? Look at the teaching. He's told about the parable of the sower in chapter 4. And in verse 14, he says, the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they had heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And have no root in themselves, so endure but for a time afterward when affliction or persecution arises, for the word's sake immediately they're offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter into the choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. The teaching, what Jesus is teaching just basically here, without going into a message of explaining this, he's teaching about the power of the word. And we talked about that living word, remember? And the word that took us to this joy he wants to fill us with was this living word and that living relationship. And what he's saying here is that all these encounters where the word comes, and I'm reminded this morning that the prayer that we need for Dennis and for all of us, just as it said here, that Satan wants to come and immediately take away the word. That's what he wants to do. We've encouraged one another this morning. We've sang. We've prayed over Dennis. You've been in Sunday school. We're looking at the word of God. Listen, every time we get near the living word, that dead and sentenced to death, hell, and the grave, Satan is constantly trying to steal it away from us. So what it's saying here, he's teaching us that out of the four things that happen that he's teaching, that there's three instances, 75% of the time, when we're getting a word from God, that there's something that's happening in our lives around us, Satan, the cares of the world, all those things that are trying to take that living word out of us. And what, in fact, is doing is reducing, Abby, the joy of God in our lives. There's this constant thing going on. That's why I encourage one another. When you're on your prayer list, your lost list, your prayer list, everybody that we're caring about here in this church, you need to realize, hey, just because they're here on Sunday morning, just because the last time you talked to them, they seemed encouraged, I'm just reminded that Jesus is teaching us here that the storms of life are always coming, that the storms of life can be small or big in our lives, but there's always something going on, and he wants us to have this joy, this cheerfulness, this calm in the midst of us, and we need to understand that all that's around us is constantly taking it out of us. There's another picture of the parable that goes along. Billy Graham made the statement years ago, and he'd make it from the pulpit. He said that he truly believed in his travels of churches and stadiums and all across this world that he really believed that 75% of the people in church are lost. When asked about that statement, it was very clear that it's something, not something Billy Graham made up. It comes directly out of the scripture. What the passage is saying here, there's so many people that are experiencing the fact that they think they get to church and they hear some word and they join church and they get baptized, but there's just no, hey, they're not full of joy is one thing, amen. They're not full of the living word. There's no relationship. And what happens is churches are full of people who are not full of Jesus, amen, who are not full of joy. I've picked at y'all sometimes, and I know, you know, there's times to be serious, have a good time, but sometimes as a pastor, man, I want to buy me one of them signs at Hobby Lobby, them big old letters say smile, amen? But I'm thinking the one that says smile ain't big enough. I'm gonna, when they put them big old letters on sale, I'm going to just buy it sometimes and say, my goodness, are we headed to heaven? Is there any joy in Jesus Christ? Are we really excited what's going on? And the, you know, the best answer I can have, and I hadn't even thought of this till now, the best answer I can have is the best thing to do is not put a sign up there for y'all, but to put a mirror up here for me. I'll never forget going to a business. Amy, I haven't gone to business training. I mean, it's something for your work. You know, I think, Colette, I think you recently, well, she went to work, I guess. Colette is recently gone to some training or whatever, her new job. We've probably all in some way been trained on the job or gone somewhere to be trained. I was sitting on those things. And I'm sorry, y'all, some of that stuff, and I work for a big company, and you know, if you work for a big company, a lot of times this crazy stuff happens. Chris wouldn't do this. Would never have to worry about it. If you go to work for Chris more, we have to worry about it. Help start Randy in trucking business, you won't have to worry about it. I sat down, and this person comes to help us, and they give us mirrors. Now, if you look like I do, y'all, you don't want a mirror. Y'all right? Gives us a mirror. About that big, and that job will stand on your desk. And went to teaching us how, when you talk on the phone to customers, Miss Linda, that you need to be smiling. The effect that it has on your voice, and the effect it'll have on the customer, and the effect that it'll have on the bottom line, you know, that's what it's all about, is you need to have this mirror. So that we and now listen, I told you that, you got that in that little bit of time. I bet we spent 2 hours on the subject. You get back to work, and they send an email to the boss. They got to have the mirrors on the day. I'm thinking, this is the most stupid thing to ever deal with. And I'm sure it's true, amen? I'm sure it's true. I'm sure that when I'm smiling and you're smiling, it really helps, amen? But sometimes I think instead of I need that not only on my desk here, but on my desk at home or maybe my car, maybe we all do, to just look at ourselves, amen? How the joy is not there, Brother Brian. It's just not there. And we're headed somewhere, amen? Jesus Christ came. He died on the cross for us. We're forgiven, washed white as snow. The Bible says the day of our death, Dennis, and don't miss this, I've shared it with you all. The Bible says the day of our death is better than the day of our birth. Jesus Christ could rapture us up at some point today. You're in this very message, be in heaven. We're going to get to heaven. There's going to be no more cancer. There's going to be no more sickness, no more work. Can I get an amen? Except working for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, serving Him all the time. Greatest boss in the world, amen, amen. Man, I'll tell you, we're going, that's home. This is not home, amen? We're going somewhere, and so maybe next Sunday I can preach this message. Because what we've kind of done is introduced, and this is it, y'all, listen, don't miss this. He was teaching them. Could you imagine the disciples when he was explaining this parable? They asked for the explanation. Man, I see them gathered around. I see them just listening to every word he's teaching. You know, and I don't know if there was an interjection amens back then yet or not, but you know, I almost hear an amen come out or that's right, Jesus. He's talking about how the devil snatches away, and they're thinking about that's happened to me, and they're thinking about the cares of the world and how it can choke. And I really believe that the disciples are receiving the teaching, and they're really taking it in, kind of like we do. We get a hold of that Bible passage in our quiet time, kind of like you're doing this morning. We're really listening to what I pray, and I know you're listening, not what I'm trying to preach, but what the Holy Spirit's teaching. And some of you are thinking and applying things to your lives that we looked at in the Word of Scripture. You're really listening, but it's just the teaching. But then comes the testing. Every one of the disciples, you know what every one of them did? That they multiple times in the Word of God failed the testing. Amen? What happens in the time of testing, Byron? They forget the teaching. So Lord willing, and if we're still here around next Sunday, we're going to begin in verse 35, and I'd ask for you to read over it and pray over it and begin to pick out the things on your own that the Holy Spirit can teach you. But I'm telling you, they're in this passage we'll look at next Sunday, we're going to look at really what it takes, listen, to go from the time of teaching and what's going to happen leading up to the time of testing that's really going to prepare us so that we'll be able to continually have that calm delight, have that, as God says, that great calm. And personal testimony for us all, I tell you, there's nothing greater. There is nothing greater than for you to be that person in your family or at work or in your church that when the storms are raging, that there's somebody that's gotten so full of Jesus and so full of His joy that they can still have a cheer, they can still have a calm delight. And that's the person, that's the very person. The purpose Jesus is doing that is to draw us to Christ. Amen. God, pray that God will help us with that. Would you pray with me? But for somebody this morning, you're in a time of testing and you're really troubled. I invite you to come to the altar and just lay it down. And I really, as I testified, you may be doubting as I was, but I promise you His Word is true and He wants to bring a great calm in your life. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, maybe you're just like we mentioned earlier, you know, you've been to church and you joined the church, you got baptized, but you've never really entered into that relationship. You're honest. You said, listen, there's not a whole lot of cheer and calm delight when I'm in a storm. There's more anger and cussing, and it's just ugly. See, there's no great calm for you if you're lost. But great calm can come just as quick as it came in this passage. They went to Jesus as Master. They told him what the problem was. He arose. He took care of it. And was great calm. Oh, I get cold chills, God, thinking about what I'm getting ready to say is, listen, if you're lost this morning, just that quick, if you'll come to the Master, tell him that you need him, that you want to turn from yourself and sin and all the storms and all the past, just that quick, he'll save you. And he'll give you that calm. He'll fill your joy. And he'll continue doing that. Whatever is going on in life, wherever you're at, you're in the teaching, you're in the testing, you're in the storm. Oh, would you bring it to him? The only one that can bring the calm. And I really believe the calm is for the purpose of sending us out to share Jesus, the gospel, in the midst of a world that's caught up in a continuing storm of sin and selfishness. Lord, save someone today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Can you please stand and join me as just as I am?
Just as I am without one plea, but that was shed for thee, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Just as I am.
Next Sunday, and in that verse 35 it says the same day. So the same day of the teaching came to testing. Wasn't right a long time before I became a pastor. I started going back to church on Sunday night. When I lived at home, the rule was you had to go to church when I was growing up. It didn't matter what you did Saturday night when going on, you had to go to church on Sunday morning. The rest is up to you. I started finding out, and I'm being explained today better to me and my own self, is, you know, I don't know what storm is coming today. But I know any opportunity I can get some teaching, I need it. I need it. Aaron, would you close us in prayer?